Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, the book of Moses, beginning with the sixth verse. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. My pastor warned me, but I didn't listen. That was the way she started the conversation, sitting in my office, kind of desperate, and she wanted help and advice. When she was about your age, you college students, she was dating a young man and had just gotten engaged, apparently, back then, to a guy who was very nice and good-looking and everything else, but really didn't care about Christianity, didn't care about church, didn't care about God's word and sacraments. And her parents and her pastor both sat her down and warned her of what this would mean for her in the future and how important it was to get this all lined up now before she got engaged. And they especially warned her about what it would mean for her children someday and the impact it could have on them. But she didn't listen. She went ahead and married him. They now had children together. And the problem she had come to talk to me about was the fact that her 15-year-old son no longer cared about going to church because Dad didn't. And he had no reason, saw no reason to be there, and thought all of this Christianity stuff was meaningless. And now what was she to do? And she was projecting out into the future, you could say even into eternity, what the consequences would be of her choice of a husband. My pastor warned me, but I didn't listen. That was 20-some years ago. I've always thought it'd be interesting to go back and find out what did happen to her son. He's probably in his 40s by now. Where did he end up spiritually? What's happened to his kids? How did the decision she made about the man to marry potentially impact generations to come? You know, when a tree has one dead big branch on it, all of the smaller branches on that are also dead. And sometimes that can be a picture, not always, but sometimes that can be a picture of how it is in our spiritual family trees as well. Years ago, I remember conducting a baptism, and it was a private baptism. They wanted to have it on a Saturday morning, and one of the reasons was both families were rather large. The two of them together, when they came to celebrate the baptism, was close to 70 people. And they were afraid on a Sunday that would take up too much space in the church. Well, these two families that came together for the baptism that day, ahead of time, the grandfathers had arrived. And I got a chance out in the lobby for about 10, 15 minutes to talk to each of them. One of them was a member of our church, very devout member who appeared to care very much about his Lord and his word. And the other grandfather, as I talked to him, it certainly gave the impression he could care less about all this and thought it was kind of a silly, meaningless ritual that was going on. And as I conducted the order of service for that baptism in front of these 70 people using the hymn book, you could just feel the difference from the two groups of people. You could just sense that the one side could give a rip about this, and to the other side, this was the most precious, wonderful, holy thing that could ever happen. There was a reason why Rebekah in the Old Testament said to her husband Isaac, when it came to looking at the wives that her son Esau had married, "I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth, Esau's wives. If Jacob now, her other son, if Jacob takes a wife like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be?" That's how heavy this now was weighing on her heart. It was just like wrecking her whole life. And there was a reason why Rebecca and her husband then sent their son Jacob back to their family in Canaan to find his wife. You see, dating and courting to them was about the Messiah. It was about Christ. Marriage to them had to do with Christ. Family had to do with Christ. Physical attraction and romance and courtship had to do with Christ and ultimately being ready for Judgment Day. God has designed human relationships in such a way that typically, most often, the most influential arrangement or opportunity for passing on a love for Christ and His Word and for heavenly things is through the roles of the parents in the home. Now, God has not given us parents, or you as future parents, God has not given us the responsibility or the duty of creating faith. He alone can do that through His Word and sacrament by the work of the Holy Spirit. But He has given us the duty and responsibility of taking our children and placing them where that can happen in His Word and sacrament. Our Lord has established the home and the role of parents as the foundational structure to all of society. When He selected a place for His only Son to be brought into this world in order to rescue us and redeem us from our sins, He didn't take Him to a palace, and He didn't take Him to a mountaintop or make Him the CEO of a corporation. He put Him in a poor family's home where there was a believing family that loved His Word. During this week in the church year, which we call the first Sunday after Epiphany, the gospel reading that we had on Monday is that of the 12-year-old boy Jesus in the temple. Dr. C.F.W. Walther, a good old Lutheran theologian, said this in the 1800s about that story and then us today. He said this: "If the parents of the most holy God-man recognized it as their duty to lead him into the house of the Lord, how much more should we recognize our duty to lead our children, who are sinners in need of grace, to the Lord early on?" And then I love this: "Our children are not given to us as toys and pleasantries or as our servants." I know you felt that way about your parents, thinking of you, right? "Our children are not given to us as toys and pleasantries or as our servants. Instead, they are entrusted to us by God so that when they know nothing about Him, we would lead them to their Heavenly Father." In the text before us, as the children of Israel are about to enter the promised land after the great exodus from Egypt, these are the directives that God gives to His people about their role as parents and how important their role is of passing on this faith to their children. And notice in those words, it covers every aspect of life. What's on the outside of your house, on the inside of your house, what's between your eyes, what you say, what you do when you get up, when you eat, every part of life is spiritual. Life is spiritual. This life is about getting out of this life to a better life. And God would have us understand that when it comes to who we date, to who we marry, to how we take care of our children. Notice, it all begins with it happening in the parent first. "These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children." Imagine if on Good Friday, the actual day of Good Friday when our Lord died on the cross, that on that day, imagine that you were living in the city of Jerusalem and a child came to your door and asked for directions to Golgotha. You could explain the road to get there. You could take out some paper and draw a map and hand it to the child, or you could take that child by the hand and lead them there. I hope and pray that God gives you the opportunity to be a Christian parent. And the role of being a Christian parent is not simply to put the information about Christ and His cross in front of our children, or to give them materials that will guide them to that. That's great. But through our own lives, to take them there by the hand. To, in essence, in your parenting, say to your children, "Watch me now. Watch what I'm going to do. See how much I need forgiveness See how desperately I need God's grace? See how important repentance is in my life that God has worked in me? See how much I need the holiness that comes only from Him because I certainly don't have it of my own? See how important God's Word is to me, the Word that gives me life? See how much I have to crave the precious sacrament of His body and blood where He brings me the forgiveness of sins? This, my child, this is how you go through life. This is how you get to heaven. Amen. Please rise. Today we have a prayer request on behalf of Jenna Prevett. She is a high school student at St. Croix Lutheran High School, past schoolmate of some of our students here. She has suffered a spinal injury in a recent hockey game and is now partially paralyzed. We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we approach your throne of grace on behalf of your child, Jenna. In this time of great trial, be with her and her family. Strengthen them by your word and sacrament. According to your will, grant her healing and recovery. Give her knowledge and courage to face the new challenges in her future. We thank you for the health that you have given us. May we never take your blessings for granted, but express our gratitude to you, especially for your greatest gift, your Son, our Redeemer, in whom we have eternal life, and in whose name we bring our prayers. Amen.